Good morning. It says recording on external microphone. I hope that's a positive sign. The last file that I put up had some audio issues that I was just mumbling or what the story was. So I'll try to speak up a little bit and move on. 6:29 a.m. Monday, September the... I just looked at it. September the 9th. September the 7th. I knew it was one of those sort of odd-shaped numbers. Monday, September the 7th, 2015. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, the last couple days I didn't walk. Saturday was crazy. I just didn't get out. By the time I could have gotten out, I had too much other stuff I needed to do. Yesterday, I overslept. Like, big time overslept. Didn't happen. Fair enough. So today I'm out. I made a point. I missed 2 days in a row. I'm trying not to miss 2 days in a row. Weekends are always difficult because there's no external clock. You gotta get the kid to school. You gotta get things moving. You got people coming. Tomorrow I have people coming. Tomorrow sprinkler guys are coming to look over the distribution of water onto the lawn. My wife is quite unhappy with the state of dry grass. And she wants to get that repaired before we have to turn the sprinklers off for the winter. So we'll do that. We got 6 weeks before we do, mid-October generally. We get the sprinklers blown out and secure the system. But the cooler weather will mean that the grass can build up some good solid roots, be prepared for a short winter's nap, and then back into the new season. Oh yeah, now the clouds. It was pre-dawn when I took the picture, and it looked like there was going to be some spectacular colored clouds this morning. And yes, now that all I can see is little glimpses of them through the treetops, there are. I have no expectation that they'll stay pretty until I can get around to where I can actually see them. Moving on. So, Douglas Daniels' Divine Lotus series, book two, clotheslined me with a cliffhanger. And I got to it like Friday. I am still pissed. I've been trying to figure out why it has aggravated me so. I think in part because it was completely unnecessary. He had a good ending point. If he had just ended it before setting up the cliff, before having the main characters ride to the cliff and jump off, I'd be reading book four by now, not just book three. I'd have been through it. But I'm pissed. The thing about it, and I've been trying to take a step back and figure out why I'm so pissed. Because on a scale of things, it was pretty well done. I care about the characters there a little bit. They're a little bit cardboardy, but they're engaging. They're compelling. The female lead is kind of a ditz, but she's a compelling ditz, and she has moments where you can see her humanity perhaps being molded, or you can see her changing and becoming something other than a nerd on her way to Stanford. Drusa, the main male character, he's got more complexity. He's got more depth. And it's clear where this is going for these two, but it's... It was still fun to watch, right up until the point where he drove us off the cliff. And I guess that's the thing, because I've been trying to find something to read since, and everything goes bleh. I've had some recommendations from the fan group on Facebook, and some of them are alright. But I got the sample for book two in the Rookie Privateer series, McFarlane's group series. And A, it's a novella. B, it starts out really clumsy. I'd skip it, except that it's book two and book three is... I'm leery about getting into book three without reading book two, because it's a series. And I don't really like short. It's one of the problems with the sample, is that it's a sample for a novella, so it's like 8 or 10 pages. It's very difficult to get immersed in such a short amount of time. And as a result, all of the background stuff that really doesn't need to be there, really shouldn't be there, distracted me from it. I think it's a mechanics thing. I think that's why it also bugs me about Daniel's book. It's a mechanics thing. These long intro passages don't cut it. They don't do what the author thinks they're doing. One of the books I got recently was Necroworld. I got it over the weekend on a freebie. Yeah, I've thrown that one away already. It had a prologue that basically repeated the first few paragraphs of the first chapter, as nearly as I can tell. I didn't actually read the prologue because, as is my habit, I skip prologues. Generally speaking, prologues don't add anything to the story. Oh, that was the other thing that Daniel said. He had a prologue at the front of his second book. And I'm reading that going, really? And having got to the end of the book, it was one of the few prologues that I read, and I got to the end of the book and realized he did not need that at all. He did not need that at all. It was not significant to the story. It was, in fact, an attempt to set up some suspense. Didn't work. At least it didn't work for me. Maybe people who aren't so conscious of technical issues, like using a prologue when it's not needed, or adding a cliffhanger when it's definitely not needed. Maybe he thought he needed it because I think maybe he's aimed this at a YA audience, and YA books tend to have cliffhangers. I know that was one of the problems that I had with reading the Mars series. Sydney Swanson and I had words about the cliffhangers at the end of her stories. And she did a good job with hers, in that her story, each volume has an integral set of questions that get answered. So there are questions that get asked and answered in the volume. Problems that get encountered and solved in the volume. Even while there are threads hanging open that tie the arc together. Sort of like the share books all hang together. They all have a common theme. But they don't... You don't really need to read, other than maybe Captain's Share and Owner's Share, you don't really need to read the previous volumes in order to get the story out of the volume you're reading. At least, I hope not. I don't think so. Monk post. It was dry this morning. It must be a low humidity night. But in this book two of Divine Lotus, he starts adding more questions, adding more problems. He doesn't solve any of them. He just adds them to the stack. So the main problem that gets introduced and then solved is that about, I'm going to say, somewhere around halfway through the book, the main characters face a serious threat. And they survive it. There's no spoilers here, because if they didn't survive it, the series would have had to end, and it didn't. So yeah, that's like the Cher books. You know he's going to survive. As long as there's a volume coming after, you know he's going to survive, because they're about him. If they're not about him, then there'll be other books. So, it's not a spoiler. But it's kind of shallow. I mean, yeah, they make some discoveries while they're on the run from the bad guys. They find all kinds of things while they're on the run from the bad guys. Things that are not what they seem. And I'm okay adding one or two of them. Oh, okay, there's something new we're going to add to the series strand here. And okay, I'm good with that. But solve something. The only problem that they introduced and solved was this chase. What was it? What was it? Everything else was a new problem. None of the problems from the first book were resolved. All the problems that got added that were important to the larger plot never got resolved. The larger plot got more complicated, but none of the pieces, none of the threads ever came to pass, and they never were resolved. And that's, maybe that's my problem with it. It's like, okay. It's sort of like bait and switch. It's holding up what's supposed to be a story, but it's really only the prelude for me to buy the next book if I want to find out what happens to any part of the story other than they escaped. Now, the character did grow. I will give him that. The character did exhibit signs of growth and change over the course of the chase. So there was some character arc movement. There was, in both places, there was some character arc movement, both the significant places. But it was just so infuriating to get to the end and run off the cliff. And part of what I've been pondering over the last few days is my very visceral response to it. I wanted to scream. I had a physical response to the lack of ending, or the finality of the ending, or the fact that it was a cliffhanger. And yeah, the next book is $2.99. It's not the $2.99. It's the fact that he had so, apparently, either had so little confidence in his own writing that he didn't end the book where there was an actual ending, which was about a chapter before the end of where he finished it. There was an actual ending point there. If he had ended it there, I think he'd have had a problem. Yeah, it would have been a little bit light, but it wouldn't have been a cliffhanger. It wouldn't have been, also down my pants time. I hate cliffhangers. But it may also just be me. I've talked to some people over the weekend and they don't particularly bother them at all. Okay, oh, cliffhanger, oh, cool. Next book must be worth it. Mm-hmm. Michael Wallace's pirate. Was it Starship Blackbeard? Or something like that. That has some light cliffs. It ends on a little bump. I'm okay with that. Because he does manage to end every... start and end every story in the volume while maintaining the unresolved aspect at the beginning and end. So the main conceit for the series' existence continues, and each new story is a bead on the necklace of the story arc. And it works for me. I'm good with that. It's just a little bump. It's not you know, the enemy ship fired and catastrophic impact in 4 seconds. What'll we do, Captain? The end. Kind of clumsy cliffhanger. And I understand Sidney Sonson's cliffhangers aren't as blatant, aren't as bold, as silly. And because she's writing YA in her Mars series, it is geared for YA, and YA apparently requires a cliffhanger, because otherwise the kids will lose interest and go read something else. I suppose, maybe. And I'm not sure I buy the kids are stupid idea. I think the reason that kids are easily distracted is because most of what they're given is pretty pitiful. I look at what courses my daughter is engaged in school. And the ones that engage her, the ones that she does well in, are the ones where they treat her with some sort of brain. Something between her ears. Now, it's not to say that she doesn't have her problems with it, but... you know, when you're sent home with 4 worksheets a week to do for homework, worksheets are easy to grade, but they're not really engaging in terms of how do you hook somebody on the content. Oh, here, do these 25 superficial problems between now and Thursday. I was teaching grad school. My students, who were teachers themselves, hated it. Because I warned him on the first day, this is, you're going to hate this class because I'm going to require you to think. And what aggravated them was that, oh, wow, this is going to be wonderful. It's going to require us to think. And then I would require them to think and say, well, what are we supposed to think about? Well, here's the subject. What do you think about it? Well, what are we supposed to think about it? That's your problem. And they're totally incensed. They're totally beside themselves over it. So there is such a thing as too much of a good thing. Cliffhangers bug me. If you've gone ahead and picked up Daniel's book, let me know. The first book was really kind of cool. I liked it a lot. It's not that many parallel universe stories. And let me know in the comments. I'd like to hear your feedback. I'm tempted to go forward anyway. I mean, it's like $2.99, big deal. But it's the principle of the thing. It's like, seriously? You had so little faith in your own work that you had to do this? I don't know. I am at the back gate. A brand new beautiful back gate. And it works. It works very, very nicely. Latch works. It swings at the fingertip. It's wonderful. It better be at what it cost me, but it's definitely worth it. So at any rate, I am at the back gate. Tomorrow is another day. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.